Okay, it's talking with God, right? You know, you go back in the Old Testament and look at the conversations that Moses had with God. And they're very specific at times. In fact, it's interesting to, at times when God's fixing to you know, blast somebody, and Moses says, whoa, you know, you don't need to do that. You know, that's not being God. That's showing things to other people outside this group that you're not really, you know, you're a God of terror, of meanness. You know, you need to back off a little bit, and God listens to him. And I find those conversations very interesting, and I wonder, should we pray more like that? Should we have more conversations like that with God specifically? Now, there's probably times when we do, but there's probably times when we don't. Exactly.
Some, I think, we deal in generalities rather than specifics. If I've got a problem, do we address it specifically or just in general? Lord, help me be stronger, you know, instead of addressing, now here's my problem, here's what I need help with.
Exactly, Joel. I think that's something that we need to consider. Art?
But I can engage in prayer that way, even though the comment is general, my part of that be very specific.
Right. Tom? Right. And I agree with that. I mean, in a corporate setting, sometimes it's, I don't want to say not appropriate, because I don't think that's true. I think it's appropriate to pray for whatever you want to pray about in a corporate setting, whether it's in generalities or specific items. I'm really referring more to personal lives. And like Joel said, a lot of times I go, well, you know, I messed up a couple of times this week. Help me, Lord. Instead of going, you know, here's the things that get to me. Here's the things that I don't understand. Here's the things that I've done wrong, you know, and then go forward with that. Does someone, okay. All right. Right.
You know, because certainly you run the risk in a pulpit prayer of offending someone or omitting someone, you know, whether they pray for so-and-so, whether they pray for me, and I've got the same, you know, so I think pulpit prayers, and I'm very reluctant to criticize anyone praying on the pulpit, you know.
I wouldn't ever, no. I don't think it's appropriate to ever criticize that, but I mean, just to get up and do it is enough, okay. Sir? Sure. Yeah, I mean, when someone responds, you know, then yeah, then that's the time for more specific type prayers. But, you know, we get in habits, and that's really the only thing I was trying to bring out. We get in habits a lot of times of praying in generalities. Here, Paul is making a point of specific things, and I just wanted to bring that out. You know, we need to consider that. Okay. Any other comments or questions?
Wouldn't you like to know what Paul knew through miraculous gifts? Because he's verse 28. When I have completed this, going to Jerusalem, and have delivered to them what has been collected, which he did, I will leave for Spain by way of you. Yeah, he was going by way of them. I wonder if he knew, but I see some irony there. He's going to get his wish granted. I wish to come to you. He's going to
him. Mm-hmm.
As a prisoner.
Right.
I wonder if he knew something was working in Jerusalem because he'd been warned by Agabus prior to arriving there. I wonder if he knew how he was going to Rome.
I don't know. You know, to me.
That's the question I'm going to ask you.
Okay. All right. Joel will ask Paul that one day. All right. But it's obvious. He had a definite plan on what he was going to do. And that's another important point, Joel. I didn't think about bringing that out, but, you know, do we have definite plans, you know, in our lives? You know, sometimes we just rock and roll with everything that goes on instead of, you know, making some plans for things. All right. Any other questions, comments, gripes, complaints? Chapter 16. So a lot of verses here, 27, and we're going to go straight to verse 16. Will someone read verse 16? Okay, so let's go through an exercise that we've all done before, I'm pretty sure, and we're going to diagram this sentence. So do we have any English teachers in here? Okay, Brother Laney is a former English teacher. So in a sentence, we usually have a subject in an action word, right? And so, Joel, what is the subject in this sentence?
It's implied. At the start of it is you.
Okay. All right.
Greet.
You greet. Okay. My version, the New American, doesn't have the you there, but.
Well, this doesn't either, but it's understood. You're talking to someone, the verb is greet.
Okay. So the subject is understood, it's you, okay, talking to the Romans there, all right, Greeks and the Gentiles and the Jews. And what's the action word? What's the verb?
Greet.
To greet, okay. And then what would we call with a holy kiss? How does that play out in the scheme of diagramming a sentence? Okay, so it's an adverb phrase, all right? So, you is understood, and then greet is what we're supposed to do, right? And that's what Paul has done in verses 1 through 15, okay? He's concluding his letter. He acknowledges a number of people, and he also sends greetings or wants greetings for all these people. Okay? So he has provided an example of this thing to do that he discusses in verse 16. Okay? Now, let's get to the kissing part. Okay? Now, Phil last week talked about an elder that imposed or said in his family, you know, the women would wear, would cover their heads in church. And that was his family, and they did that. And he wasn't going to impose that upon anyone else in the congregation. What about kissing here? Now, it may be okay to, certainly it's okay to kiss your wife. And with some of the sisters, you may want to kiss. But now, I don't know that I want to kiss Grady. Okay? Grady probably doesn't want to kiss me, I'm pretty sure. John?
One thing about it, you don't want to do it today.
No. We won't want to wait till everybody gets well, right? Art?
I've always considered our handshake almost like a kiss.
Okay. Okay. David talked last week in his sermon, I think, about lifting up holy hands in prayer, right? And it wasn't so much, you know, we get into this charismatic type, lifting up your hands type thing during prayer or songs, or, I mean, you see people doing that nowadays. But it was more of lifting up... I can't remember how he described it, but it was more of a description of the attitude of the prayers, okay? And maybe that's the same thing with here. But I wanted to go through the sentence diagram thing because a lot of people say, well, the holy kiss was their... their way of what we do in handshaking today, or maybe hugging. That was the way they greeted people. That was just culture. Okay, where we don't do that nowadays. We shake hands or we hug, or, you know, there may be some kissing going on, you know. Right, there are cultures that still do that, and there's nothing wrong. Would there be anything wrong with it if we started that here? Okay, key word is holy. Joel says, okay. Tom, did you have a comment? Okay.
I saw Putin.
You saw who?
I saw Putin giving a kiss to somebody on TV.
Okay. All right. So, Steve?
Well, there's actually an example of that, Acts 20:37, where they all fell upon Paul's knees and kissed him.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. All right, so, but the key thing here is we need to be greeting people. So I don't know if he was trying to address an issue in the church there between, you know, you got the Jews over here and you got the Gentiles over here, and they're still have not kind of come together, and maybe the you know, he's provided the examples in verses 1-15. And now he's kind of saying, look, you guys need to be a little bit better about interacting with one another. What happens when we greet people? What takes place? Okay. All right. How important is that? Okay. So when you go off on vacation somewhere and you go to some place you've never been before, you know, and you walk in the doors back there, and, you know, everybody kind of goes and goes on to their seat, you know, or they come up and, you know, start shaking your hand, give you a hug, asking you all sorts of questions, you know, that's really what you want, right? That sort of greeting. Okay. She can, yeah. All right. Did someone have their hand up over here? Okay. All right. Yeah, so I mean, it does all that. It shows love. It shows fellowship. In verses 1 through 15, it's a remembrance of important events and experiences. But it's that connection. All right, and we as people want to be connected to something. Okay, that's why, you know, you either have organizations like this, or that's why you have gangs. You know, that's why they are so popular. Those guys and girls want to have some sort of connection with somebody. They're just misguided in the way that they're going. All right, So greeting is the first way to establish that contact and that connection, to make people feel that they have some worth, that they're important, okay? And we all want that. Let's see. So we talked about the holy kiss, and that's more of a cultural thing, but still, the act of greeting one another is something that we need to be proactive with. It's applicable to everyone, right? Do we have Jews and Gentiles in the church today? If that was a problem in Rome, do we have Jews and Gentiles in the church today?
Not like they did then.
Okay. But we can get into cliques, right? Okay. And so, you know, if I'm sitting here on the pew waiting for Sherry to come talk to me and you know, greet me, you know, she may be sitting there waiting on the same thing. So I think with Paul's sentence, it's sweet and to the point, it's simple. It is an action for us all to do. In other words, am I wrong if I sit there and wait for Terry Persley to come and say hello to me this morning or any other time? Art.
I've been to congregations where you have to almost step in front of somebody to give a speech to.
Right.
That's just really unfortunate. As Christian brethren, it should not be that way. I've also been places where they had to put stickers on the thing for visitors and members. Members got a blue sticker and visitors got a red sticker. And I just put that red sticker on and go stand in the foyer. And just, I'm grateful that people here don't have that attitude.
Right.
You know, we should all be more accepting of folks, especially folks who visit.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we've been here a little over a year, you know, and I don't know everybody here yet. I met Phyllis here last week because we were standing over talking, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just introduce myself. You know, I haven't met you yet. You know, it's just that sort of thing. We've got to get past that reluctance or whatever you want to call it, however you want to hide behind, and you know, just walk up to someone and go, hey, you know, I've seen you around here for the last year. You know, my name is so-and-so. What's yours? And meet them. Okay. Wow.
And told me they were happy I was there. That's the only place I could ever where a teenager,
mm-hmm.
you know, came and did that, and it was very impressive.
Right. You know, it's easy to get lost in with our circle of friends and all, but, you know, it's just something that we need to think about and keep in the back of our mind and do. Steve?
Have you ever been in a service, and, you know, it's rare nowadays, but where maybe after a song and everyone's standing, the person at the pulpit will encourage you to turn and meet the person next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or shake the hand of the person behind you. And, you know, some people think, well, you know, that's foolish, but in a way it breaks the ice if you're in a strange congregation. And sometimes I think that's good.
It is, as long as you're not like Art was talking about, you know, you're standing there and people still avoid you like the plague, you know. Just because you're a visitor. So.
But the other thing on that is everybody has their scriptural cues, so every Sunday you're speaking to the same people.
Right.
Really, you're talking to new people. So, I mean, you know, what good does that really do if that's the way you're accustomed?
Right. It does pose that problem. Yeah.
So, Ken, Darlene's always with the idea of 1 week out of the month at least, you have to stand up and move some of the parts with the other.
Okay.
So, you're forced to sit with people that you don't normally sit with. So, that's the Gloria point. So, maybe you should try this.
I'll let the elders, you know, decide that. But it's a good point, you know. It does kind of get you out of your comfort zone. But, you know, if we just all rotated, you know, like 90 degrees, it wouldn't be a whole lot of good to that. But, yes. Okay. You leave the crazy cousins over on the other side, right? Of course, the other thing about a fellowship meal is eating, you know. Okay. So let's go on. Verses 17 and 18. Paul continues on with some direction here. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them, for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites, and by their smooth and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. So Paul makes several points here. What are they? What do we need to be doing? What's our job?
To encourage one another, not to offend.
Sir?
To encourage one another, not to offend.
Okay. But he's also talking about there's going to be people that come in, you know, that are selfish, they're ambitious, and they're going to start trying to impart ways that aren't in accordance with Scripture, the way they've been taught. You know, about a month ago, Willard talked of the board decision at Boyd Buchanan about allowing females to take part in their chapel events, which I'm surprised it has taken that long for that to happen. But nevertheless, you know, I think the greater fear in that is, okay, when is that going to pop up into one of the local congregations? Has it? I haven't heard that yet. But you know, that's the fear, and so, you know, there's going to be people that preach that start to make the case for changes in the way that we have historically operated. You know, but we've always operated in accordance with Scripture. Paul says to do what with those people? Mark them? Avoid them? So what is our responsibility then, Millis? Absent.